Colin Russo, ESPN West Palm tonight, ESPN 106.3. Heading into the medical field, especially on the sports side of things, I'd like to welcome in the director of the shoulder division and the co-medical director at HSS Florida, which in the West Palm Beach location of New York's top-rated hospital for special surgery, is Dr. Ryan Simovich joining us now, who is a shoulder specialist. Doctor, welcome in. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Doctor, let's do a couple things here. First things first, being in West Palm Beach, are you from the South Florida area? Did you find yourself down here just for career-laden purposes? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes. I mean, I grew up in Miami, so I'm not that far away. Lived here my whole life until I went away for training and for college. So back close to home, close to family.
And when you went to college, you went to none other than Duke University, of course, correct?
I did.
And Duke University, the medical field there, and getting sort of your come up into the medical field that led you down here. Duke University, what can you say about your not only experience there, but also the experience you got in the medical side of things?
That was fantastic. I mean, I went there for undergrad. I went back there for a residency. So I lived there for about almost a decade. Loved the place, you know, cutting edge, learned so much. But on top of that, I mean, the basketball program was just amazing.
We'll talk about that as a UConn fan myself, Doctor. But one thing I wanted to also loop in on the serious side of things, HSS Florida, especially here in West Palm Beach and throughout South Florida, has just been booming. And, of course, the expansion, those from the Northeast obviously are very familiar with HSS and obviously those from the Northeast that come down to Florida. But one thing about you specifically being the director of the shoulder division is sort of the strides, leaps and bounds that not only recovery but also the care and the type of operations that you guys do in terms of sport-related shoulder injuries. And one thing I wanted to ask you, being down here, based down here, what are some of the more common shoulder issues that you see amongst not only residents in South Florida, but athletes and nonetheless?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a super active population down here, right? So we see patients that run the gamut. You know, they're young patients and they're adolescents up to patients that, you know, continue to be active up in their 80s and 90s. So the most common things I see in my practice are rotator cuff tears, degenerative things like arthritis, and then we'll see some instability, some labral tears, some people that dislocate, but the most common thing is rotator cuff related.
And one thing about the rotator cuff too, correct me if I'm wrong too, but being such a big tennis population, that is another injury where a lot of shoulder movement, even the golf game, whatever, baseball, swinging, that the rotator cuff is put a lot of strenuous nature with those sports. Am I wrong?
100%. I think that is like a common theme, which is the rotator cuff is so important for the motion and the strength for all those sports. It's at risk with any one of them. We see it commonly.
And what do you, from your perspective, from a medical perspective, in terms of preventing something like this, preventing a tear like that, is more and more efforts going into sort of the knowledge around the preventative care that can be done and the strengthening? Tell me about that.
Yeah, I think definitely, you know, so in your competitive athletes, you know, you think a lot of it, you know, baseball around here, we have a lot of baseball teams that come in here for spring training. When you think about those individuals, a lot of it's kind of their off season and what they do to care for their arm, right? You know, they don't just pick up in spring training and start where they left off the last season. So a lot of it goes into conditioning and making smart choices. For those that are, you know, kind of more amateur athletes, the, you know, weekend warriors and the, you know, the 40, 50, 60, 70-year-olds that we see playing these sports, you know, there's a lot of general care around the shoulder, stretching, maintaining a strong rotator cuff. And then I think some of that is also moderation, right? These individuals that play year round, play golf, play pickleball, play tennis, you name your sport, but they're playing year round. I think those are the ones at risk. And so moderation comes into play for sure.
And when somebody at home, or Palm Beach County resident, is experiencing shoulder pain, how do they know when the point is not only to rest and recover versus when I should go into HSS and see a doctor?
So I think that there's pain that's kind of short term, but it's pain that's not interfering with day-to-day activities or even potentially sport. I think a lot of those things will recover. And so, you know, you rest ice and it's going to get better. But if you have this kind of crescendo of pain where it's getting worse as time goes on, or if you're starting to lose range of motion, lose strength, you know, your mechanics aren't the way they used to be, you know, if you're playing golf and your distance isn't what it used to be, those are reasons I think you'd get evaluated to see if it's something structural or something that's just inflamed and at least get a path forward.
This is Dr. Ryan Simovich, of the director of the shoulder division and co-medical director at HSS Florida, joining us now on ESPN West Palm tonight. Doctor, what have you noticed about the leaps and bounds that have been taken in terms of the shoulder specifically, in terms of care, treatment, operations, how you approach situations like this, how you rehab. It's gotten faster. Everything has gotten faster, especially with sport-related injuries from the knee, from the shoulder, to everything. From your perspective throughout your career, what have you noticed as the biggest leaps and bounds, steps forward that have been taken in this regard?
Yeah, so I've been doing it for about 20 years. So if I think back to 20 years ago when I started, we did a lot of the same surgeries, but it definitely took longer to rehab and the results weren't quite as predictable. I mean, so the things that have changed on the surgical side is we use a lot more biologics. We use a lot better fixation techniques, things that allow us to rehabilitate patients quicker, maybe out of the sling quick, and move through the whole process. That's the biggest thing. I also think that one of the interesting things in the last 4 or 5 years, we've had a lot of things developed with AI, machine learning, predictive analytics, where now we're able to better use machine learning to predict how patients might do and make individualized decisions based on our experience with patients in the past that we didn't know existed before.
And doctor, throughout your career too, you spent some time overseas as well, learning on the European side of things. Do I have that right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, in Switzerland.
And how did that give you a little of a different feel, of a different perspective? What do they do differently over there that helped you bring it back over here?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing, maybe related or indirectly related to sports, is over there they had access to an experience actually with some technology that we didn't have in the States for like a decade later, and so they have different processes for it's not FDA directed over there. And so, for example, shoulder replacements, we sometimes do what's called a reverse shoulder replacement. That technology, when I trained there, had been done for about 10 years, whereas it really started to be done down here when I emerged into practice. So technologically, there were a lot of advancements there that just gave me a different perspective on how to treat patients.
Wow, and I don't have much of a perspective on that, but why 10 years behind seems pretty heavy for somebody like the United States being so as strong and as reliable as they are in terms of the healthcare field. Why was it that the United States was so far behind in this specific operation?
Yeah, I'd chalk it up to the FDA. I mean, the FDA is great. Obviously, it protects us from things that are dangerous, but I do think there's a lot of bureaucratic red tape that at those times in Europe didn't exist. Now, I would say in some ways, Europe can be more stringent than the FDA is in the United States. But that was basically the impediment is, the FDA likes to look at data for a while and ensure things are safe before going forward. And that's understandable. But at that point, there was good data in Europe. It just wasn't translatable to the United States. And so that was the delta, the difference in when it was approved here.
Wow, fascinating. And one thing that we talk about when we're talking about sport-related injuries or wear and tear injuries is sometimes if it comes to the point, you know plenty about knee replacements, hip replacements, something you don't hear totally as much. It's not as common, but something that you guys offer and that you specifically operate on yourself is shoulder replacement. And tell me a little bit more about that surgery, what goes into it, the type of recovery associated with it, when you actually get to the point where you're thinking we should think about doing the shoulder replacement surgery. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, I think as far as when to do it, what we always tell patients, and it's very similar to our knee and hip colleagues, is to the patient, you'll know when it's time, meaning, you shouldn't do a shoulder replacement until you feel like it's necessary. And I think that's a good gauge because patients generally know when they're bad enough to go through the process, recovery, risks, and benefits. But as far as replacements, there's two types. There's an anatomic, which we consider to be a regular replacement, and a reverse replacement. Regular replacements or anatomics we do in patients that have arthritis but have a good rotator cuff. Reverses we do in patients that have a bad rotator cuff, and that may be a rotator cuff tear or arthritis on top of a rotator cuff tear. And they're very different but similar in that both of them essentially are in a sling for about 3 to 4 weeks. Both of them you're doing therapy for about 4 months, about a 4 month recovery before you get back to sport. About 4 weeks from the surgery when you're actually using it for most things you would use it day to day. So we've gone a long way. I think we've gone a long way with the technology. We use computer navigation now to do it. We use some AI to make some suggestions on how we should do it. We have a lot of pain sparing ways of managing the patient around time of surgery that don't require narcotics any longer. So we've come so far with this surgery, just like the knee and hip colleagues.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because especially as a lot of the bulk of the patients here in Palm Beach County tend to be, obviously the middle age, the little older in terms of still being active, but that's obviously when the wear and tear can catch up to you. And convincing a patient to embark on a 4 month operation is no easy feat, especially my dad is dealing with this specifically as well. Like, it's hard to convince him just to do the surgery because he doesn't want to deal with the recovery. But when you realize the benefits, not only how much quicker and how much more smooth it's gotten, but also the long term benefits you'll see in terms of the performance of the sport, I think it goes without saying that the advancements have sort of caught up to the potential risks that some people have in terms of their day to day life.
I completely agree with you, right? And so I think there's always a threshold where patients think it might be bad enough to do and maybe be scared of the recovery. But the way I'll tell patients, if it's bad enough to do and you're eventually going to do it, you're better off doing it than waiting and kicking the can down the road. You're only getting older. Better do surgery when you're younger. But more importantly, 4 months is a small amount of time to enjoy a lifetime of being pain-free and restoration of function.
And one thing about Palm Beach County, especially with HSS Florida, golf is at the forefront of almost anything, not only from amateurs, but also from professionals. And it's to my understanding that there is a high-tech golf simulator that you guys have available at the rehab department at HSS Florida. And I guess that's catered to the actual golfers of the world that are rehabbing injuries, whatever it might be, whether it be shoulder or something else. Is that something that has been a new sort of coming part of the rehab process for HSS? Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's relatively new. We actually got that simulator around doing some surgery here, but once we got it, we have a certified therapist that's able to take players that people play golf and evaluate them before surgery, evaluate them after surgery, and help them transition to playing. So I think it's been a godsend. It's just another modality for those individuals that want to go back to playing golf, start playing golf, a good way to guide into the process.
And doctor, what would you say is the future in terms of these sport-related injuries, especially in the shoulder? In the next couple of years, 5-10 years ahead down the line, do you anticipate further and further advancements, not only in terms of the operations, but in terms of the recovery, the care, the rehab, the preventative care? Tell me about where this can go, not only at HSS, but worldwide with the medical field on the shoulder.
Yeah, I think it's all of the above. I mean, so, you know, just to start with the surgical portion of it, technology is changing by leaps and bounds. And I think a lot of that's happening around use of, you know, computers and machine learning and predictive analytics, right? So we can predict who's going to do well, who's not going to do well, why they might not do well with surgery, and then intercede and change that so that they do well. I think around preventative, no question. And I think that's both in terms of AI space around therapy, but I think it's also our expanding knowledge of logics. And then, you know, if you think about what to do with these patients after and before, I think, like, for example, the study we're doing with the golf simulator, what we're doing is we're tracking patients before surgery, we're tracking patients after surgery, and we're looking to see what predictions we can make of those patients. We're also taking patients from that are normal patients as far as their shoulder and their hip and their knee may go. We're following to the simulator to look at age-related changes, and we're hoping that by knowing what the golf simulator is collecting, we're hoping that we'll be able to devise better ways of being able to prevent injuries in patients, better ways of treating them through the rehab process, whether it's surgical, non-surgical, and potentially giving even some suggestions in industry as to what they might do to be able to prevent injuries related to the equipment that we give those players or those patients.
Dr. Ryan Simovich joining us now on ESPN West Palm tonight with Colin Russo on ESPN 106.3. Talking shoulder replacement surgeries, the advancements that HSS Florida here in Florida, South Florida specifically, does offer to patients in terms of amateur and professional athletes. Doctor, if somebody's experiencing shoulder pain, if they're experiencing any sort of sport-related pain, how do they find you guys? How do they get involved? And how do they find HSS Florida?
I think the easiest way, if they want to start, is just go to our website, which is hss.edu/Florida. If they Google HSS Florida, it should take them to the landing page for the website. Fortunately, we're pretty much all around. You know, we have offices in West Palm, Jupiter, and Wellington. So we're happy to see anyone for anything at any time.
And, Doctor, I'm a UConn basketball fan. I'm going to squeeze this in. You're a big Duke basketball fan. When you were at your residency at Duke, and obviously it's sport-related, were you involved with the actual sports teams of Duke in terms of their sports science or sports medicine field?
I was. You know, so as part of that, our fourth year of training, there was one resident that would get selected every year to be able to sit on the bench for the basketball team. So while I took care of the other teams, my fourth year of the five-year residency, I sat on the bench for all the Duke games at home.
Wow.
Fantastic. Amazing,
and what year was that?
Oh, gosh, that would have been 2004.
2004? Those teams were good. That was the J.J. Redick year. Am I wrong there?
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, your math is right.
And, all right, so let's talk about this for a second. Did you have a relationship with Coach Krzyzewski in any regard? Did you have any major shoulder injuries that you had to treat, or any injuries for any matter that you had to treat from any of the players throughout that year?
Yeah, so at that time, I can't remember any shoulder injuries. I mean, there were commonly knee injuries. Nothing sticks out. You know, nothing sticks out at this point. But, you know, my amnesia for that long ago is pretty significant.
Right.
But pretty good relationship with Coach K. I mean, it was probably, you know, that was probably the most memorable experience, is just watching Coach K and how he interacted with players in the locker room and, of course, on the bench. Just an amazing, amazing thing to see.
And you had front row seats to one of the most hated men in Duke basketball history. I think he's great. I like J.J. Redick. He does a great job for the Lakers, and I thought he was a great college basketball player. But having J.J. Redick front and center, that must have been primetime television.
So it was all prime time. But you can say that about so many of the players, you know. Like, I think when I was in college there, it was right after the Cherokee Parks era, you know. So, and Christian Laettner, too. So right. There was no end in personalities that you might say the same thing about.
As a Duke fan, obviously you hate UNC. Does UConn make number two in terms of basketball programs that Duke fans hate?
Oh, certainly is now, you know. I think, in my household, I've got two daughters that plan to go to Duke, will only go to Duke, are huge Duke fans, and neither one of them will talk to a Michigan or UConn fan.
We'll take it. That's a win in my book as a UConn fan myself. Doctor, I appreciate the time. Appreciate the real deep dive into not only the shoulder derision at HSS Florida, but also your career and what HSS Florida has to offer for patients all throughout Palm Beach County, Treasure Coast, and South Florida area. And I enjoy this. I appreciate you chatting with us.
My pleasure. Thanks, Colin. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.
You as well. That's Coach Dr. Ryan Simovich joining us from HSS Florida, the director of the shoulder derision and co-medical director, Colin Russo, ESPN West Palm tonight.